encourage you, mothers, today. I want you to get a break today. And I could go through the Bible and I could bring up examples of mothers who are wonderful and encouraging mothers and faithful mothers and prayerful mothers, and there's a million sermons from the preacher. But what I wanted to do on Mother's Day today is I want to encourage you that God is in control and that you can find some rest and release from the sovereignty of God. To know that God in His power, God in His grace, is in control of every situation. And you know what your moms need most importantly today? Is to know that God's bigger than your mistakes. We don't have any perfect mothers in here. In fact, most mothers suffer extraordinary amounts of guilt because of not meeting up to a standard, a mental standard we have of what a mother should be. Maybe you actually have screwed up your family beyond words. Maybe you've looked at the journey you're walking, but I'm here to tell you today that whether you've been a good mom or a bad mom, a good mother and wife and daughter and friend and example, there's good news this morning. God is bigger than your problems, bigger than your mistakes in dealing with your children. Now, you have the most difficult job in the world. We're commanded. The fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments is honor your mother. Honor. We live in a dishonorable society. We live in a society where there is utter disrespect. And we don't show honor. And we don't know what that means. That word literally means heavy. Honor. We're to give awe and respect and gratitude. And we're to honor the office. In fact, the first commandment, after all the commandments dealing with God, before all the don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, mama is put right in there, mother and father. So we want to honor you today. Ephesians 6:2 repeats the fifth commandment. It says that we are to honor our mothers. But I want you to find relief today. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a very strange Bible story today. Are you ready for this? Because I think we have some mamas that have had strange journeys in your life. You know, you weren't the Cleaver home. Did you grow up watching the Cleaver? There's Ward and June and Wally and, you know, and the Beeb. You know, I mean, everything seems, Father knows best. Were you raised with that? These ideal moms, these ideal dads, these picture-perfect homes, and the mothers were always wearing dresses with makeup and their hair done. And I mean, that's how we were sort of nurtured. I mean, we grew up thinking that Timmy and June Lockhart really were real. Remember Lassie? You know, Timmy's always perfectly dressed, and the mother is always wearing a complete frock and outfit and all that. Well, you know what? I don't think I'm talking to those kind of moms today, here and under the sound of my voice. I don't know, but I think we've got some mothers that have had some strange journeys, and I want to read a verse of Scripture real quick that doesn't seem to be a Mother's Day text, but I'm going to make it into one, so help me God. All right. Genesis 38:27-30. I'm going to read it to you. Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that, behold, twins were in her womb, Roman named Tamar. And so it was when she was giving birth that one put out his hand, and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, this one came out first. Then it happened as he drew back his hand that his brother came out unexpectedly, and she said, how did you break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was called Erez. Afterward his brother came out and had a scarlet thread on his hand, and his name was Zerah. This is a woman named Tamar. She had an extraordinary journey to motherhood, and I'm talking to some moms that have been through some interesting journeys. And I'm talking to moms this morning that need a lot of forgiveness, and moms that need to find release today in the sovereignty of God. That means all of every moment of your life, every moment of your life, moms. God has been with you. He's seen from eternity, before you were even conceived, every mistake you would make in mothering your children, and he's bigger than that. I want to encourage you. This woman named Tamar, strange story, and there are some weird stories in the Bible. Well, this is one of them. Well, there was a member, Jacob had 12 sons. One of them's name was Judah. And Judah went and married a Canaanite woman and brought a Canaanite daughter-in-law for his son. And her name is Tamar. And her husband died, and she didn't have any babies. And then through Levirate marriage, a man named Onan was brought in to try to sire some kids, and he died. And so here she's left alone. And Judah's youngest son was a little boy, and at that time his name was Shelah, his third son. And Judah said to Tamar, look, wait, he's a little boy, wait till he grows up. When he grows up, and then I'll give him to you in marriage, and you'll have kids, and everything will be fine. And Tamar waited and waited and waited and waited and waited for years, and Judah had no intention of meeting his promise and bringing this young man to marry Tamar. And she pines away, she waits, and in the midst of injustice, Tamar says, what am I going to do? I don't have any kids. I don't have a husband. I want to have a baby. And so what she does is she lays in wait and knows that Judah walks. His wife has just died. And so she dresses herself up as a prostitute, and she approaches Judah. This is the one that has not been faithful to give his son to her, to raise up seed. And there's supposed to be seed raised up of Judah's home. And yet in an unconventional way, Tamar sat down and thought, now, how can I have a baby? And so in the midst of this strange process, she dresses as a prostitute, solicits Judah, and he agrees on a price, you know. And so she says, okay, but I'll tell you what. He says, I don't have any cash. I left my wallet in my other robe. So she says, that's okay. Just leave me your staff here. Leave me some objects that belong uniquely to you. And then I'm here all the time. Then you can come back and pay me. Long story short, they spend the night together. She gets pregnant. And so Judah forgets about having met that lovely lady on the road, didn't bring that up to the family at the next prayer meeting, didn't mention that in his next testimony in the synagogue. But long story short, Tamar shows up, and she's pregnant. Well, Judah hears about it, and he goes, why that loose woman? Why? I can't believe that some people have the morals of an alley cat. Yeah, he's the one that impregnated her. Well, we don't know that yet in the story. But she comes around, and they pretty much bring her to Judah. Judah says, oh, burn her. Stone her and kill her. And she's been unfaithful. She's a loose woman. And then she goes, well, Judah, before you stone me, have you ever seen this staff before? Have you ever seen these articles of clothing? And Judah's face turns red. He realizes, and he says, you know, she's more righteous than I am. She's more righteous than I am. Well, she's pregnant with twins. What does this have to do with Mother's Day? Hold on. Some of you have taken a strange journey in your motherhood. Some of you have had some strange circumstances. Some of the fathers aren't around. Some of you were single when you got pregnant. You were in unconventional circumstances. Tamar is an unconventional woman. I don't know how you got pregnant. I don't know who the daddy was, and I don't know how you got the child that you've got. But God this morning is here to comfort you that He is a sovereign God. That means He in His power and His knowledge, He exceeds your capacity. He knew you were going to conceive. He knew it was going to be an unconventional pregnancy. He knew that the man was going to run off. He knew that you weren't going to meet your obligations as a mother in a conventional way. And He still calls you mom. He still, this mighty sovereign God, wants you to know this morning that you are going to make mistakes. Many of you have made mistakes, but God is bigger than that. He's more gracious than that. So in our story with Tamar, when we last left our heroine, let's go back to her. Because by the way, Tamar is a very interesting woman in the Bible. She appears in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew, you'll find that there are four women in Christ's genealogy, and they're all questionable women. Right? There's Rahab, the prostitute. There's Bathsheba, who committed adultery and the husband was killed. And then there's Ruth, this Moabite woman who had no rights to a covenant with God. And then there's Tamar, this woman. Now, she winds up with twins, and one of the twins, we can trace the descendants, her descendants, and we wind up with Jesus Christ. Two twins, born of destiny, yes, God prophesied their birth, yes. She wound up producing the children God called her to produce, but it was done in such an unconventional way. Do we condone sin? No. Because you know sin is what hurts you, and sin is what harms you, and we're never going to be light on sin. We don't need a license to sin. We'll do good enough without one. So we're not going to commend unrighteousness. But I think God wants you to know, moms, today, that with all the sharing you do and all the caring you do, you are unique in the eyes of God. Mothering is a unique opportunity. Mothers are to do two things. They are to first bond us. They're the first face we see. When the child is put in your breast, you have the first opportunity to bond that child, to teach that child what it means to connect with another human being. That's your first job. What an anointed job. What a powerful influence you have. You're the one that is in charge of bonding and teaching that child how to connect in a healthy way with others in order to bless others and be blessed. You are a gift of bonding to your children. Secondly, you're a gift of containment to your children. Containment is when the kids are screaming and they're losing their minds and they're out of control, and you come and sweep them up in your arms and contain those emotions. And you teach them that they aren't that emotion. They are one child with many emotions. But but that's okay. They're one child with many emotions, and everything's going to be okay. You're there to contain us. And when you are bonded as a child with your mama, it's easier for you to have good, healthy relationships later in life. When you've been contained by your mother, when things go wrong in your life, you don't just become a basket case. You may cry, you may weep, you may be depressed, but you know I'm one person with many emotions. I'm not just the emotion I'm feeling at the moment. You have a unique call, moms, and God bless you. Hardest job in the world. I read some statistics, 60% of the world population, moms. Two-thirds of the world's work done by mothers. 10% of the world's income earned by mothers. 1% of world's property owned by mothers. Well, statistics can be depressing sometimes. But you're invaluable. We all had a mother. Those of you that are here today, I just had a feeling that if God wanted to acknowledge the unique journey to motherhood and through motherhood that you've been taking. So I know that you, whether you're single moms, married moms, new moms, older moms, God, number one, here's my first point, God knew from eternity that you were going to make the mistakes that you've made at the moment. See, God is not a finite creature like we are. God is not limited in thought like we are and in experience like we are. God, from eternity, before you were conceived, knew every mistake in mothering you were going to make, and he still allowed you to become a mother. Ugh, there's release in the sight. There's a sense of relief, because mothers, more than anything else, especially when they're unique mothers that have come a unique journey, they feel excessive amounts of guilt. I deal with mothers all the time that are horribly guilty. And here, what are you guilty about as moms? You're not measuring up to your own standard of motherhood. That's very depressing. You see your children make decisions independent of you that cause them harm, and that produces a measure of guilt. And those of you that have children that are older, you've discovered they may all go astray and go their own way. And you can take them to church 3 times a week, and you can hear sermons and Christian music all the time, and they can still grow up and become a pain in the butt and go off and utterly embarrass you and compromise all the principles you tried to teach them. That's reality. That does happen. And it's heartbreaking. And there's a sense of guilt that descends uniquely on the shoulders of mothers that fathers often don't even feel. And you live under a great yoke of guilt, and you're seeing that you don't measure up to your own standards as a mother, let alone to the biblical standards of being a mother, and you're just trying to keep it together and do another day and wipe another butt and change another diaper and where's the cereal? You got cereal but no milk, or milk and no cereal, and it's just terrible. And you get them off to school, and you finally go home and collapse and go, what was I thinking? I wanted kids. What is that? You are under a great burden, mothers. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you, and there is some release you can find in the sovereignty of God. God knows the mistakes that you would make, and he's got you. He forgives you in Jesus' name. He loves you. He appreciates your effort. And even when you don't make an effort, but you intend to make an effort, he blesses your intention. Remember, number one, he's sovereign over all your mistakes, moms. And you've done a lot of good, but you've done a lot of damage. And you know, M. Scott Peck calls it reckoning. Don't worry, your kids will come to you one day for the reckoning, it's called. Which means they're going to tell you everything you didn't do, everything you should have done, everything they wish you did, everything they wish you didn't. Wait, just expect it. It's going to happen. Don't fight it. Go with the flow. Just learn to bite your lip and nod your head like a dog in the back of a 57 Chevy. Mm-hmm. And then what didn't I do, honey? Mm-hmm. And then tell me more. It's going to happen. It's destined for it to happen. Have your kids, when they're little, put orders in a big old water bottle because they're going to need to pay for their counseling. Royally screwed them up. You have fallen down on the job, and there's nothing like a teenager to point that out to. Speak to a teenager while they still know everything. Quickly. They will come back to you and say, woulda, shoulda, coulda, you stole my lollipop, you weren't the mom I wanted, I wish you were them, but it's going to happen, even if you're a perfect mother. Let's say you're a 99.999% mother here. God bless you. I've never met you before, but... remember the story of a preacher. And his sermon that day was Eve, the only perfect woman. And a woman raised her hand in the back of the church and said, Eve's not the only perfect woman. He said, well, ma'am, perhaps you could tell us who the other perfect woman is. He says, my husband's first wife. You see, nobody here under the sound of my voice, you've not been a total success in mothering. You've been given the greatest responsibility in the world. God knows that. There's great pressure. There's great guilt that goes along with failing the standard. But I'm telling you this good news. Number one, God knew all your failures before eternity, and he still called you mom. So he loves you and he's with you. Number two, take comfort in finding release in the sovereignty of God. Accept forgiveness today for yourself. Except that God has not given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. He doesn't want you walking around guilt-ridden. He doesn't want you walking around condemned. He doesn't want you walking... You may have done what they said you did, but you're not who they say you are. You need to expect to receive forgiveness today and hope today that God knew every screw-up you were going to do as a mother, and he's got you covered anyway. And even if your kids go on a path, and you know, it's inevitable, so even God's got prodigal children. You know? Yeah? All of his children are prodigals. You know, what does that say about his parenting? It's a no reflection on his perfection, but we're all rebellious going our own way. So when your kids grow up and even go and compromise the standards you know are biblical, please, in your prayers, know that God even has that woven into the tapestry of your life. I want you to feel forgiveness today. Feel relief today. Feel deliverance today. Drop that burden at the foot of the cross. Cast all your care upon me because I care for you. God's in charge. He's under it. He's in the lines, in between the lines, above the lines, within the lines, behind the lines. He's been covering you all your life, all your unique journey as mothers. Back to Tamar for a minute. So Tamar pretends she's a prostitute to get pregnant by her father-in-law, her former father-in-law. What a crisis. What a scandalous. Right? But Tamar winds up with her two twins mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. You see, your journey may have started out strange. Your motives may have been weird, but God sovereignly saw that precious life and put that life in your custody. He's going to cover your mistakes. He's going to wash away the consequences, in many cases, of your sins against your children. God's a big God. You know, sometimes trauma is good for children. Great gifted children come out of traumatic homes. Great gifted children, great achieving, anointed children can come out of horrible family origin situations and rise to the top. God is sovereign. God's in control. He's above time, beyond time, in control of time, and he knew every mistake you're going to make. Find comfort in it. Just give yourself a break today. You need a break. You don't need some more oughts and shoulds. And you know another thing? I was looking at Moses' mother. Interesting woman. Now look at this. You know the story of Moses, Prince of Egypt, Ten Commandments? Did you know, think of this. Pharaoh condemned the generation of children to be thrown into the water and drowned. Moses' mother did put him in the water, in a basket. He was drawn out of the water. His name was Moshe, which meant he was drawn out. And he was the one who was called to deliver his people through the water, and ultimate deliverance would come, and the destruction of the enemy by water. Look at all the water motifs in Moses and his mother's life. What a unique and strange prophetic image. Some of you mothers, you've had unconventional mothering and motherhood. You didn't anticipate to be mothers the way you are. You haven't raised your kids conventionally. But you know what? Moses' mother was a strange and prophetic and unconventional mother in her relationship to her son. There was water involved with every dimension, in the water, from the water, living through the water, destruction by the water. And I think a lot of you mothers have a similar prophetic kind of stream running through your relationships in your families. That means you're unique in your generation. God's going to use you in ways that are unique. He's going to use your children. He's going to raise your children up to be so much more than you ever dreamed possible. And at the end of the tapestry, when we see the whole picture,
Your sins, your faults, you falling short, all the things you woulda, shoulda, coulda done are going to wind up being woven into the tapestry, and that kid's going to wind up being exactly who he or she's supposed to be. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Someone say amen. Because you're going to fail. You're never going to measure up. You didn't get the mother you wanted. You didn't get the mother you needed. You're not their mother that they need sometimes. But you know what you can strive to be is a good enough mom. Can't be a perfect mom ever. But you can be a good enough mom. You know what a good enough mom is? She says, I'm sorry, when she's wrong. And thereby she teaches children how to love imperfect people. Because if you can't love imperfect people, you're going to be alone. Because there's only imperfect people. So you can strive to be a good enough mom. You can get up today and say, you know what? I'm going to receive that comfort. I'm going to receive that release from the sovereign you've got. Thank you, Lord. You're over all this. You are over the conception. You are over the wherefore, when's, how's, when, all everything. Even before I knew it was going to happen, it's woven into your plan, and you've forgiven me through the shed blood of Jesus. I'm going to accept that release. But you can get up today as well and say, Lord, I strive to be a good enough mom. A good enough mom is not a perfect mom. It's a mom that says, I'm sorry when she's wrong. It just diffuses everything, doesn't it? I remember reading that list last year to you. My mom taught me everything I need to know. We went through some of that. Didn't we? My mom taught me about logic. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Mother taught me about time travel. I'll knock you into next week. Everything I needed to learn out there from my mom. I had about 9 of them, but most of the other ones aren't fun. There's relief for you today, and I want to bless you and just minister forgiveness to you. Not that I don't want people to think that I'm really downgrading you in some way, but you need a break. You need encouragement. You need to know God's with you even when you're not the best mother. You need to know that God's going to even cover you when you're just, all you can do is lay on the floor and pray, God bless my children, God bless my children, God bless my children. He is going to see the intent of your heart and bless you as though you were an absolute mother. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
See, you can do so much more for your children when you're free of guilt, when you're free of condemnation, and when you're free of shame. You can be so much more available to your children. Maybe your availability capacity is only 1%. Well, then we'll pray God move it up to 2% by the time the year's over. You're a good enough mom. You need to just strive to be a good enough mom. So I want to pray for you in just a minute. But I just want to say, I really believe that there are some extraordinary children that are being produced in this time, and many of them sitting here, that even though the tapestry of your mothering life is less than perfect, God's bigger than that. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than any of the downfalls that have hit your family. And he is able to shore you up in every area so that, you know what, like Tamar's story, what a mess! It started out unconventionally. It started out with her in sexual sin. It started out with her acting like a prostitute. But she does get pregnant, and the two kids wind up coming out that are supposed to come out, and we wind up seeing Jesus Christ through Perez, one of these relationships. How many of you know God can enter into your screwy situation and whatever it's come from or whatever it is now, and he can yield what he wants to yield at the end of it? And bless you, mothers. God bless you. We love you. Father, we bless the mothers today. They have an extraordinarily difficult job. Single mothers and working mothers and married mothers and deserted mothers, Lord, and rich mothers and poor mothers. And there's just so many people under the sound of my voice. But I want to speak a release to every woman here because of the sovereignty of God. Let them all feel the shame fall off the past failure. Guilt melt away for not matching. Lord, the tension in their hearts they've had, always walking around, always thinking that they're failures. We pray we release that and command it to fall to the ground in Jesus' name. Father, we lift the cross of Christ up and we embrace this precious blood of Jesus and put it upon the mothers here today, that they're forgiven in the name of Jesus. They're loved in the name of Jesus. They're valued in the name of Jesus. God is not unjust to forget your labors of love. People may forget, but God is not unjust to forget your maternal love and concern for your own children, for maybe children that aren't even yours, but they're spiritually your children. Father, we forgive you in Jesus' name. We say we release you from guilt and condemnation in Jesus' name. We say thank you in Jesus' name. We bless these women in Jesus' name. And those that are going to be mothers that are just anticipating that maybe even for their future, we bless them already in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that a deep, rich sense of forgiveness and cleansing and deliverance would be released right now, Lord, and that mothering would be a joy, that motherhood would be a blessed state, that every one of these precious women will feel a spring in their step, a song in their heart, knowing that they are doing something worthy of honor. And we do honor you, mothers, today. We want to honor you in Jesus' name. We want to spend time with you. We want to help you. We want to hear you. We want to encourage you. And thank you for all that you do. And thank you for all that you've done. And Lord, we bless right now all the mothers that are on a strange path right now, like Tamar. They're on a strange path. But Lord, thank you. You ordained and knew that path from eternity. And that you seek to bless them, and that they can be good enough mothers. They can finish well. No matter how they've started, every mother can finish well and be an instrument of grace in the life of their children. Lord, we release now every burden for children that have grown
astray, for children that have grown up and seem to be doing the opposite of a ungodly life and unchurched living. Father, we pray right now that you give grace to the hearts of these aching hearts of mothers who see their older children growing up and having children of their own away from God, and they don't seem to have regard for the house of God. Father, we even release that and give that to you, and we thank you that at end, everything will work out just right because of your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone say amen. Amen, amen.